I want to preach on the mind. The mind. And I've heard it used to say when he was a kid growing up, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. But I think we have been, our thinking sometimes gets polluted, contaminated. Y'all with the preacher?
Yep.
And I'm going to read some scripture out of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And if you'd like to flip there and read along with this, we want to read exactly what the Lord have us to read and preach exactly what the Lord have us to preach. And as you're flipping to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, I want you to know that the Lord does mean everything that He says in this word and means everything He says. Our mind is a place. Our mind is something. I'm reminded that it says it in Deuteronomy. Jesus echoes those sentiments in the Gospels. He says we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. How we think, how we do things according to our thinking is huge. The writer of Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That means your thought process, the things that how you think is how who you really are. And I don't know about anybody else, but I find in Scripture that the mind is a battleground. The mind is a war zone. They sung that song, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. And some may have different thoughts of what the firing line is or for the what the right is. But can I say this? You need to stay on the firing line for your very thinking, for your very mind. I find that the way we think sometimes ain't correct. We'll go by things that's being said, and we'll cling to those things that are said and think they're pretty good. But there's a way to have your mind right with the Lord, and that's what we want to preach. What are you thinking? So if you got 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, say amen. If you'd like to stand with us, we invite you to stand with us as we read the word. We'll have a small word of prayer. We're going to read three verses in chapter number 10 of 2 Corinthians, starting at verse number 3. And the Apostle Paul writes to this church, he says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father. We thank you, praise and glorify you, Lord, for the songs, Lord. I hope and pray, God, that we all leave out of here in a better state than we did when we came in. Lord, some may be hurting, some may be persecuted, some may be pressured, Lord Father, and some may be here, Lord, and they're hiding things and they don't want to reveal things. Lord, that's fine. I'm not the redeemer, I'm not the forgiver, nor is anybody else in here. Lord, you are. Lord, you're the help that we need. And God, I pray today this word is exactly what we need. Lord Father, I pray for your message to come through clear, simple, and understandable. Lord, I pray that my mind and my flesh not complicated. I pray, Lord Father, that our hearts, Lord Father, and our thoughts not complicated. But Lord, that we would receive the engrafted word, which James says is able to save our soul. Lord, I believe if it's able to save our soul, it's able to help our mind. And God, I pray today, Lord Father, for our minds. That our minds will be clear, sober, Lord Father, and girded up when we leave out of here. It's in Jesus' precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. The mind, we are preaching on the mind. What are you thinking? I'll never forget growing up, my dad would say, what was you thinking? He'd say that a lot. What was you thinking? And I say that sometimes to my kids. I guess it just passed down through everybody. And a lot of times we do things because we think this or we think that. But I do know this, the mind is important. I find it's around 132 times in the scriptures you'll find about the mind. You'll find it from the very first book to the very last book. about the mind. I find that the Bible talks about that we should have a sober mind. I find that it says that we should have one mind. Where the Apostle Paul and the writer of Luke, the writer in Acts, talks about how we should be in one mind and one accord. I find that we should have the same mind in the Scriptures, a ready mind, a pure mind, a sober mind, and a sound mind, and humbleness of mind. But it also talks about corrupt minds, double minds, shaken in mind, and fleshly minded. It talks about all kinds of things about our mind. I find in the Scriptures that our mind is the most important thing as we walk in this world. Can I say that we're all saved? The Lord saves our soul. It's sealed into the day of redemption. And thank God that it is. He cleaned it up with the blood that was shed upon Calvary. Somebody say amen right there. There's a good point right there to say amen. You may not know, if you don't know much about the Bible, if you're saved, you know about that blood. It cleansed your soul, and you've been sealed with the Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. I thank God my soul has been sealed. I thank God my soul has been cleansed. I had a man come up to me, and he was trying to ask me about the Scripture in Ezekiel, a Scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36, and he wasn't quite wording it right. It was throwing me for a loop. And he said, I don't understand what it means. And it was when the prophet was prophesying to the children of Israel where they had got themselves in trouble and they was in the captivity of Babylon, and that the Lord had dealt with them because of their sins. They transgressed. They, as the Scripture said, they weren't going after other gods, chasing other gods. But he said, I'll draw you back. I'll bring you back. And he said, I'll take out your stony heart and give you a new heart and a heart flesh. He said, I'll give you my spirit. I'll give you a new mind. I thank God that we need a new mind. I mean, the way that I used to think ain't the way that I think now. But sometimes, Brother Roger, no one look at me like you're super spiritual. Don't look at me like you're perfect. Sometimes my thinking just ain't correct. I hear things, I read things, and I watch things. Sometimes in my thinking gets off kilter, or my thinking sometimes is wrong. I'm reminded in the Bible, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, in that book, it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I'm reminded that the way we think is so important. When we get up, I will say that our thinking, some folks has even said, the way we think is sort of like our attitude towards the world and our attitude towards people and towards situations. I've been told, some folks say, preacher, you just look for the silver lining in anything. Well, I'm hoping I'm looking for the silver lining in anything. I can find a whole lot of bad lining in a lot of stuff, but I want to see the good. I want to find what's sweet and what's right. I find in this Bible, I'm not going to go to too much skirting around the issue. I want to get right in it. In Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 6, the mind is so important that it says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the way you're thinking right now means a whole lot what's going on in your heart. To be carnally minded, I know some people may not like rough preaching, but I'll say when we come to church, we should have a ready mind to hear the songs and a ready mind to hear the preached word. If we come to church and our mind is ready to think about what we're doing after, or what we're going to go to eat at after, or what we're going to do after church, your mind is not in the right place. You're doing carnal thinking. And can I say, I wouldn't want to miss the message that God gives or the song that God gives that might be the help for your life. I mean, it's so important for our minds to be so spiritually in tune with the Lord. He says, if you're carnally minded, it's death, but to be spiritually minded, it's life and it's peace. You said, preacher, what's carnally minded? That's when you're thinking about things that only your flesh is going to enjoy. Don't get me wrong, I'm guilty just like anybody else. But there's times when you realize that thinking, that carnal thinking will take you farther. It'll keep you busy. It'll keep you preoccupied to where that mind is so carnally thinking that you forget about the spiritual things in life. There's a battle that's set up within the mind. That battle is between two forces. There's the forces of evil and the forces of good. Some may think, well, preacher, we've got Jesus Christ, so since we got Jesus, we'll always win. Can I say this? I would like to say that's true, but the problem is that Jesus is not the one controlling what's going on in our mind. We're the ones who's supposed to be controlling what's going on in our mind. Can I say this? When some people say, preacher, I thought for sure since I got saved that everything would be rosy and everything would be sweet. Well, it can be if we make sure that our mind is focused and thinking about the right thing. I've watched people who'll go in the wrong direction or do things differently. Why do you think the devil in the world and the flesh always wants to entertain the things that will never profit you and satisfy your soul? It'll never bring peace to your heart. I find that when the latest cell phone comes out, that people are preoccupied with the latest and greatest of the gadgets. I find when the latest and greatest of the video games comes out, it latches upon the young man's mind where he wants to play that game forever and ever. I find when our favorite sports team is in the running for the championship, that our mind will be focused upon the greatest of the running of how they're going to do in a championship. And our favorite team has got an undefeated record. Right now, I mean, I'm going to say this because the Lord popped it in my head. Right now, all us Cincinnati Reds fans had a great big hope for the beginning of the year. And them poor fellas can't hit the broad side of the barn holding the bat if the barn fell on top of them. Somebody, you could say amen right there. That's still good preaching. But they're losing like crazy. But when our mind is focused on those things and they consume, friend, our thinking is wrong. Our thinking is carnal. It'll never bring that life and peace. And some people might say, well, preacher, are you splitting frog hairs? Well, as am I splitting the frog hairs? Is the Bible splitting the frog hairs? Or do I see a lot of sad faces? Or do I see a lot of sad people that walk through their days, Brother Eddie, because their mind is consumed thinking on things that have no profit? I find when he says that it says right here that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I read in Lamentations chapter number 3, I find Jeremiah the prophet, his mind is consumed with everything that's going on and going wrong in his life. He's thinking about all the persecution that he faced when he about preaching the gospel. He was calling back to his mind all the torment that the children of Israel had because they forsook God. He's thinking about all the wormwood, the guile, the bitterness of everything that's going on. And I want to say this right now. If you're one of them people who's thinking about the aches and the pains, and I know we all got them. If you're one of them people who thinks about the boss man don't like him, we all got them. And if you're thinking about how the paycheck just ain't as big and fat as you want it to be, we all got that same issue. And friend, if you'll let that control your mind, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Your frown's going to get longer and longer. You're going to look like an old, nasty, stubborn mule walking around with your head bowed down low with nothing to look forward to. Jeremiah is thinking the same way, but he says, then I recall to my mind. He starts thinking in the right direction. He starts thinking the right way. He says, I recall to my mind. It is by the mercy of God that I am not consumed. He says, His compassion is new. His compassion faileth not and is new every morning. He said, I got to start thinking that right. What am I doing? I'm walking around kicking a can, throwing rocks at my neighbors. I'm wanting to spit and cuss like crazy because things ain't going good. Why? Because my mind's in the wrong place. I'm thinking about the wrong things. I know we preached here not too long ago. If you're thankful in everything, God will get you through anything. And can I say, that's one way to say it. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, though I think positive thinking it's kind of powerful. But I want to say this, friend. If you've got nothing else to think about the day that God saved your soul, redeemed you, pulled you out of the miry clay, pulled you out of the horrible pit of sin, set your feet upon earth. Am I listening to this preacher? Does this excite you anymore that God's good? Does it excite you anymore that God's great in your life? Does it still amaze you how He answers your prayers? Does He still amaze you that His love that He has towards you? I'm like Brother Brian. I thought before when I was lost and undone that I deserved to have my back broke in hell choking on brimstone. But I find 20 years later that if it wasn't for that grace and mercy and compassion, I'd still deserve to be in hell with my back broke choking on brimstone. But instead of thinking about my inconsistencies and instead of thinking about how bad that I am in my flesh, I get to think about how good God is in my life. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that your mercy and your compassion fails not. And they're new every morning. Jeremiah had to start thinking that way. Can I say this first of all? The devil wants your mind. The devil wants to blind your mind. Notice he says this. He says we do not war after the flesh. That means we're not fighting with our flesh. We're fighting a spiritual battle. We're fighting against principalities and powers. I'm not fighting the church down the road. Though I did see if it gets real dried here in a minute, you know, if it gets dried up in here in the preaching, we'll dismiss service and go over and eat their hamburgers, whatever they're cooking over there. I saw the grill. I don't know why, but I said, that, Lord, get it back in my mind. But I want to say this, that we have a blessed hope. We have a blessed life. We have the things that we have, but the devil wants to steal and to kill and destroy everything that we have. Mamas, he wants to steal your babies. Daddies, he wants to steal your wife and kids. Church, he wants to steal your church people, your love and the scriptures. He wants to steal that from you. John, in the book of John, chapter number 10, we quoted earlier, that the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I know this a lot of times. People say, well, folks, is just trying to help. Well, friend, carnal help never helps a Christian. It never helps the spirituality. Carnal help doesn't help a lost person. But the help that comes from above, that's the help that we need. Because we're fighting in a battle. We're fighting in a warfare. Notice in verse number 5. Notice what Paul says. He says, casting down imaginations. That's things that happens in your mind. Can I say, there's a lot of people, and I want to say this, there's some people in Mount Zion Baptist Church who's got these thinking that folks is out to get them, or folks don't like them, or folks is against them somehow, some way. Some people, you might even think, I don't know if you're here. I hope you're not. I hope nobody here thinks that I'm against you, or I'm not for you to promote. Well, it seems like, preacher, every time I come, you never lift me up. You never encourage me or boost me in my morale. Friend, it's not my job to boost you in your morale. It's my job to preach the message that God gave. But in the message, I'll find something that shows me my wrong. It'll show me how to get it right. It shows me how to keep it right and how I know that it is right, because it's in the scriptures. But I find in this scripture, in verse number 5, he says, casting down imaginations. That's something to do with your mind. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That's in your mind. And it says, in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's in the mind. The devil would love to get a hold of your mind. He would love to scramble your brains to where you don't know which ends up. May I remind everybody, earlier in this book, in the second epistle written by the Apostle Paul, in chapter number 4, I find in the scripture how what he likes to do. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. I find the devil wants to blind your mind. He wants to cover up the truth. He wants to cover up that you're not loved. Can I say this? You're loved, you're loved, you're loved by the Creator of all things, the Redeemer of all things. He loves you. Preacher, I don't think my neighbor loves me. Yeah, but God loves you. Preacher, I don't think my wife loves me, but God loves you. Preacher, I don't think my kids love me, but God loves you. Can I say, sometimes we worry about what other people think, and I think we should do partly. But friend, if you miss the point, miss the part that God loves you and everything about you and all your imperfections and all those things. The Bible says He knows your frame and He remembers your dust, and He still loves you. He knows how far you've sinned, how far you've went, how low you've went. Even if you think you're good, He still knows all those things. But you still need to be saved. Why? Because He still loves you. And what the devil would like to tell you is that nobody loves you. The devil would like to tell you, you've screwed it up so bad, ain't no way you'll get forgiveness. The devil would like to tell you, blind your mind to think that everybody's out against you. I've talked to people and they say, I just don't think so-and-so likes me. I said, how do you know? They said, so-and-so don't talk to me. I said, have you ever went to so-and-so and talked to them? They said, no. I said, maybe they think that you don't like them. Yep. Now we got ourselves a problem on the hand. Now we got two people thinking psychotically, and ain't nothing really going on. Right? The devil would love to blind your mind. He would love to get you to think that people's out to get you, or somebody's out to get you. Can I say this? I've heard many of people say, preacher, I think the devil's going to destroy the church. What do you think? I says, he can't. Preacher, I think he's going to kill Christians. He can't. Someone says, preacher, how can you be so sure? Because I'm reminded that when Peter was asked, who do you say the Son of Man is? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are these, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when people tell you, you ain't going to win, you ain't going to succeed being that Christian, you might as well just quit church, quit praying, quit reading that Bible, throw down that King James Bible, do something more pleasing to your flesh. I say, friend, don't do it. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't wave the flag. God loves you, and the devil can't defeat you, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. But he would love to blind your mind. He would love to blind your mind. He would love to keep it at odds. In Ephesians chapter number 4, I'm going to go quickly. In Ephesians chapter number 4, we find at verse number 17, I find the Bible says, I find it verse number 18. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. And that wherefore utterance would be made. Oh, I'm in chapter number four, verses 17. It says, and this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who blinded that? Who messed with the imaginations of their mind? The devil does. Everybody says, well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, friend, he's just as real as Jesus is. And he would love to get you discombobulated and all cattywampus to where you don't know which end's up. Get you thinking that God's hating you and that the only way you can find peace is in the world. You said, preacher, do you have any proof of that? Oh, yes, David, who was anointed king by Samuel, by the authority of God's word, by the authority of God's power, Brother Eddie. Samuel anointed David to be king, and when Saul was trying to kill Samuel, Samuel got to the point and says, you know what, I'm just going to quit Israel, going to join up with the Philistines because Saul is going to kill me. He said within his heart, Saul is going to kill me. It got so bad that the devil had messed with his mind so bad that his thinking was wrong. He got his thinking all out of joint. I'm glad God forgave him and God helped him, but I'll say this today, the devil would love to blind your mind. He'd love to say, there ain't no use of going to church. There ain't no use of still trying to live that old gospel way. There ain't no use still saying them prayers. Friend, I say, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't surrender. Don't throw in the towel. I heard somebody say this one time. They tried to use an example by using an earthly example, but I saw somebody use it for a spiritual example. They said that they was having a rough day, and they said they felt like throwing in the towel, so they threw the towel in. They said Jesus caught it and threw it right back in me and said, wipe yourself off, get back in the fight, you're victorious. And oftentimes we think, well, this is it, this is the worst, and this is the end. But friend, can I say this? If you're saved, it's not the end, but the devil would love to blind your mind. Why would he love to blind your mind? Because God gives you a sound mind. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of love and of a sound mind. Y'all listen to the preacher? You know what a sound mind is? Hating sin. That's a sound mind. Loving your brother. That's a sound mind. Loving the people around you. That's a sound mind. Having a smile upon your face. That's a sound mind. Y'all with the preacher? How many times have we got up in the morning and started our day and we had somebody cut us off at the stop sign, the traffic got too slow and things got too rough and got too long. Next thing you know, we're allowing the day and the world to turn us upside down when God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. How sound is your mind today? Are you saved? Are you born again? Y'all sound pretty convincing. Pretty convincing. How sound is your mind? 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God don't give us that. But the devil would love to. He says that love, that power, that sound mind. The devil don't like when you're thinking soundly and clearly. I find that also in the third thing is that mind, that sound mind, that mind that we're supposed to have, a new mind, a spiritual mind, it's commanded by the Lord. The devil would love to blind it, but God gives you a sound one. But we are responsible for our mind. Y'all with the preacher? If you go to Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to tell you why the Bible says that we are to have this mind. In Ephesians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 22. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Get rid of that flesh. You can't apply lost person thinking to saved person reality. Let me say that again. You can't apply lost person thinking to saved person reality. Tony, my thinking changed after I got saved. My mind got changed after I got saved. The way I think is now different. I used to pride myself on being able to sell an Eskimo an air conditioner. I would love to fool and pull the fast one. Now I find I just ain't got it in me. Now I'm being told I'm gullible. But I want to have that mind that's pure. But the Bible says, get rid of that carnal thinking. You young people listen to the preacher. Get rid of that carnal old way of thinking if you're saved. Get rid of it. Well, what do my friends think? What's the school people going to think? What's the in crowd going to think? What's them social media lights going to think, Sister Debbie, if we don't blend in with them? I've heard so many people say, well, you know, it'd get a whole lot better if you all just ease up off that old way and do things a little different. But you know what I'm finding? It's happening a lot of places. A lot more people's finding out that new modern way they're trying to do things ain't satisfying souls and hearts. Don't get me wrong. You ain't got to be old-timey like me, but you've got to have an old-time way in your heart, a proven way. I find in Ephesians 4, he says in verse number 22, that you put off the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Your flesh will run after things. Your flesh will look at things. I heard one man say this. He said that he loves his wife and all those things, and I think he does. And he says if he sees one of them cheerleaders or anything, or sees one of them women that are scantily, candidly dressed, he says it doesn't affect him. I think he needs to go to the doctor and have his hormones checked. Because I'll tell you this, when people say that their flesh don't affect them, Sister Vicky, our flesh affects us 100%. I feel like I'm lecturing or something like that. Is everything going all right? I mean, I feel pretty free, liberty-wise. But I guess the devil don't like me preaching on the mind. Your mind could be thinking about things that's carnal, and it'll affect what God's trying to speak to your heart. Y'all listen to the preacher? He says that those things in Ephesians chapter number 4, he says it like this. He says verse number 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in the righteousness and true holiness. He says you got to be renewed in your mind. Sounds real familiar. Sounds like Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. Well, the Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Right? Which is our reasonable service. He says, but be ye not conformed unto this world, but be ye transformed. By what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that perfect and good and acceptable will of God. He says the only way for you to transform is by the renewing of your mind. Y'all with the preacher? The same word. Now I'm going to show you a little theology. I looked this up. So now I feel kind of, I can't pronounce it right, but I just now know I know a little bit of Greek. The same word in Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 2 is the same word that they use in Matthew chapter number 17. When Jesus was on the mountain of transfiguration and he was transformed, Brother Eddie, he was shining, he was glowing, he was bright, he was shining and transfigured in front of Peter and John and James. And I'll say this, if it was good enough for Jesus, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 12 that it's good enough for us. Not that we'll glow in our flesh, but the brightness of our mind. We need to be transformed. We need to be renewed in our mind with the Spirit of the Lord. And oftentimes people don't realize it, but when we have our mind renewed, we show that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's hard, the Bible says in James chapter number 1, that if you ask God for something, but you're wavering in your faith, because he says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I find in James chapter number 4, he says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Why? Because the mind has been contaminated. The mind has been polluted by the things of the flesh. We war against things. We war because of the flesh. We war because the devil wants to blind our mind. And forever, I find in the Scriptures, the New Testament, Brother Eddie, I find where the Bible says that we have to have one mind, one accord. We got to have the same mind. Got to have a pure mind. Got to have a sober mind. Why? Because the devil's walking about seeking whom he may devour. And friend, I don't know about you, but if you spend a couple hours in this world will get you thinking about different things. This world will get you thinking about things you ought not to think about. I mean, I don't know if anybody ever goes through this. I'll be reading my Bible. I'll get smack dab in the middle of a chapter, and I'll be reading, and something dumb like, did them kids take the trash out, pops in my head. Did anybody ever have that? I'll be reading the Bible, and I'll be like, man, did I check the oil in the car? Has that ever happened to anybody else? Next thing you know, I get down to verse number 25, and I'm like, I remember verse 5. I don't remember the 20 verses in between. Did you know what happened? The devil snuck in there. The flesh snuck up in there and said, I want to blind your mind. But the Lord says, I want you to renew that mind. You got to renew it. You got to renew that mind every single day. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, he's roaming about. He knows exactly how to hook us. He knows exactly how to get us distracted. He knows how to get our mind turned from the things that we ought to be doing. Why? Because he knows how we think. Can I say this? But I thank God we have something. We've got the Lord. We've got prayer. We've got his word. We've got all kinds of things that can help us renew our mind. And I'll get to that in a second. But friend, he commanded us in Ephesians chapter number 4. He's commanded us in Romans chapter number 12, if you'll have it, that we should renew our mind. Now, why would he tell us to renew our mind? Why didn't he say, pray and let God renew our mind? Why do we have to renew our mind? Because it's our responsibility. When we keep our mind anew, Brother Logan, when we keep our mind afresh and in tune to God, you know what cannot affect us? The things of this world. We find sometimes we allow the things to happen, the stuff that goes wrong. Goes wrong in our life because we allow the things that happen to us, or we allow the things that interfere with our life. We allow it to tilt our way of thinking. I don't know how many people that I have come across, and so many people that will see things and affect things. Used to, there was people that would stand against sin and stand against things that God stands against. But somehow, some way, their mind has been tainted, or their mind has been blinded, Brother Eddie, and now they no longer stand for things that they once stood for. I heard some people used to stand real hard against adultery and a fornication or any type of fornication. When I say fornication, it's any kind of immoral sex that's outside of the marriage. Y'all with the preacher? And so I said, preach, y'all not to preach that way in front of all these kids. That's what's wrong, Sister Vicki. They need to hear sound preaching, the whole counsel of God. And when I've heard some people used to stand against fornication, they used to stand against people shacking up and not getting married, they used to stand against unwedded pregnancies and things of that nature. And can I say this? It's still wrong in the Scriptures. But what happened is the devil has blinded the mind of the leaders and preachers our day, and they won't stand against it. I've had some people say, preacher, why do you still preach against all those things? Why do you still preach against people that do those things? What do you do when those people show up to church? I said, the first thing God tells me and says, don't you sugarcoat it for nobody. Don't you pull back the reins for nobody. It's my word and not your word. So I still preach her plain and I still preach her straight. But here's the one thing Caleb Faulkner and I will do. I don't care if they got cooties. I don't care if they got some kind of nasty disease. I don't care if they're a drunk. I don't care if they're a drug addict. I don't care what they are. I'm going to put my arm around them and say, I love you with all my heart. Best yet, Wednesday night, I'm standing outside and there's a man drunk standing right in front of me. He says, I apologize. I don't mean to be acting this way in front of you. He says, you probably know. And I said, yeah, I can smell you about a couple feet away. I said, but you know what? I'm not looking down upon you. I love you with all my heart. I love you so much to tell you that God died for you and he can help you. You don't need the bottle to cover up your sin. You don't need a bottle to give you peace. You need Jesus Christ. I'm going to be your friend. You know what? We got people that are living to be willing to do that no more. Their mind has been blinded. People don't like to hear the truth no more. But friend, I'm telling you, the truth is you need to have your mind renewed. Whatever happened to living right? Whatever happened to listening to the right singing, the right music? Everybody right? I don't know what. We sitting there, and I couldn't help it. Can I share something with you? We're sitting there, and a buddy of mine, he went to go buy, I ain't going to go into all the details, but anyway, he bought this girl's mama a trailer at a trailer park. And this is how the flesh works. So he said he bought that woman's mama a trailer. You know what my mind said? Sammy Kershaw made her the queen of my double-wide trailer with the polyester curtains and the redwood deck. I ain't heard that song in years. Huh? Earl's sitting on the park bench. She's the Charlie Daniels of the Torque Ranch. Anybody know that song yet? Yeah, Michelle knows that song. Look, got Michelle's flesh just a boom. She's like, man, I like that song. Go home and download that thing. But my flesh will run wild to the things that it knows. But you know what it was doing? It was blinding me from what needed to be in my mind. Would y'all like to know how to get your mind renewed? Because all this is just lip service if we don't know how to renew our mind. Why is it so important, Dad, for you to be the head of your house? Do you know it's still biblical that the man's supposed to be the head of the house? It's not popular. I know I wouldn't get too many amens on that one. It's not the wife's position to be the head of the house. It's definitely not the kid's position to be the head of the house. It's still right preaching. Why is that, preacher, that things have, now we've got things that are so messed up and twisted. I read an article, and I'm not thrown off, y'all, but I want to tell you why it's so important to have it done the way God has it done. I can't remember if there was 4 to 6 babies that was adopted by this lesbian couple. And when they found out that they was abusing those kids, one of them got real drunk and drove the wagon that had all of them in there, drove them off a cliff and killed them all over in California, just outside of San Francisco. I've heard so many people say, preacher, that's just hurtful. You shouldn't say things like that. Ask them ones who lost their life. There's nothing wrong with right thinking, Brother Greg. There's nothing wrong with biblical thinking. The problem is it's not preached and promoted no more. It's not propagated. It's not spread. And can I say this? Every single one of us will fall flat of our face if our mind's not right and clear with the Lord. Here's how you do it. First of all, Proverbs 16:3. If you want to write these down on a piece of paper, it might do you some good. Proverbs 16:3, this is what it says. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Commit your works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. You said, preacher, what do you mean commit my works unto the Lord? Well, I'll give it to you in my way, the best way I can explain it to you. I'm going to that sewer plant. I got two bosses that are over me at that plant. I got three of them that's in the county building at 406 Justice Drive. And Brother Scott, they're my bosses, and they got the office job with the loafers and the tie and the dress shirt. Those men are my bosses. I'm going to commit my works unto the Lord. When I go in there to work, I'm working as if I'm working for the Lord. Because Paul says that that's how you ought to work for the masters that are over you. My works that I'll commit unto the Lord, that means my work should be honest. My work should be pure. My work should be in the fashion where God would be pleased and that the lost and dying world could see Christ living in me. I'm going to commit my works to the Lord. Now, if I commit my works to the Lord, my thoughts shall be established. Oftentimes, people don't like to look at it that way. Don't get me wrong. I still think, my carnal mind of thinking, I don't want to go to work. I'll wake up and it's a nice day. And it's about 50 degrees outside. You know what I want to do? I want to go run and buy me a bass boat and get on the lake somewhere real quick and go fishing. I would love to call off work. I would love to skip all those things. But can I say this? If we'll commit our works unto the Lord, all of our thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16:3. Secondly, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. It is discerner. It is dividing asunder between the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. Here's what it says. Is it a discerner of the intents and the thoughts of the heart? If you don't know what to think, open up that Bible. Open up that Bible and get you some thought process. Is it right for a man to touch a woman? He's talking about when they're not married. It's what it says in the scripture. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why'd I get quiet all of a sudden? Is it good for me to honor my father and my mother? Sister Pat, it's what we was talking about before church. It's that fifth commandment. Them 10 commandments, me and Pat was talking before church, before Sunday school, them first 4 commandments talks about your relationship and your fellowship with God. The fifth one talks about your relationship and fellowship with your family. And the last 5 of them, Brother Brian, talks about our relationship and fellowship with our fellow man. Commit the word into your heart. Use that word to establish your thoughts. When you commit your work unto the Lord and you use the Bible, the best thing that can happen unto you is that you get it on the inside. Thirdly, 1 Peter, I would ask you to flip to 1 Peter chapter number 1. You need to gird up your mind. You need to gird up your mind. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, starting at verse number 13, this is what Peter wrote. He said, submit yourselves to every... First Peter chapter 1, verse number 13, he says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In verse number 16, he says, verse number 15, it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16 says, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. What's it mean to gird up your mind? Shore it up. Are you saved? Are you going to heaven? You love church? You love that Bible? Shore up your mind. Spend more time with God, church, Bible, save folks. Spend more time with them as much as you can. Shore up your mind. The more time you deal with the world, more time you deal with the flesh, more time you entertain the thoughts of the devil, the more your mind will get polluted. Y'all with the preacher? He says, if you'll do these things, gird up your mind, be sober. That means clear. I'll wear the moniker of the preacher who absolutely goes ballistic on alcohol and drugs. It is warping the mind of people. Amen. Warping them. Never in my day have I seen so much lax when it comes to the things that's troubling us. Now we've legalized marijuana. We got alcohol. We got dope. We got people who've been prescribed prescription pills by some crooked pharmaceutical companies so they can make money and getting people hooked on drugs. How many people know some folks that's hooked on drugs? And I'll say this, I used to think it was their fault, but I want to say this, and I don't care if it does go on the internet and the black suburban show up. Sister Amy, more people's got hooked on that stuff because doctors don't care what they're giving those patients. Hey, man, right there! I got a mean streak all of a sudden, Brother Roger. Too many times we've seen people who's been took advantage of. Why? Because they're so they can get a hold of their mind. They got them thinking, well, the best person to give you help is a doctor. Y'all pray for me right now. I'm about to go on a whooping, find me a doctor and whoop him with a switch. He'll give me a shot or something, probably knock me out and take my money. But it just bothers me to see what alcohol and drugs does to people. Their mind has been polluted and twisted and warped. And they don't have it. Our young people's minds been warped and blinded because they think it's the things of what the world has to offer to bring them happiness. I was sitting talking to a fella last night, and we was talking, one of the sweetest things to do is if you got time and it's a nice sunny day and it's on a Saturday or something, ain't nothing sweeter on a Saturday morning with a fishing line getting wet in the water, and you just sitting there looking at everything that God created. Isn't that, and it's peaceful. It's peaceful. But the world tells you that's not peace. But I find to sober it up. I got a bunch more verses. I want to go to one, and then we'll be done. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. And verse number 8. And I'll be done. Brother Eddie, I know this is hitting home somewhere. Every message don't have to be a shouting message. Maybe for us, before we could shout, we got to know what we're shouting about. Huh? Tickled me to death. And I'm not saying this because it's Alexis, but tickled me to death that a 19-year-old testified. Hallelujah. Loved it. Loved it. I think it'd be good if we all just took a spell testifying. It'd be good to have one of them, what they call them, popcorn services. People just kept popping up testifying. Y'all let the preacher say amen. Got Philippians chapter 4, say amen. Verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Remember, we're in a spiritual war. When's the last time you said, you know what? It's me and God, sink or swim, live or die. Don't worry about those things that you can't change. That was one of the things that Brother Eddie, my daddy, taught me all my life, and it stuck with me. He'd say, Jason, don't worry about the things you can't change. So why are you worrying today? Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about everything. But put everything in prayer and supplications. When's the last time that you said, you know what? Instead of me waiting to the last resort, Lord, I'm going to make you first, and I'm going to pray. How many of you in here has spent any amount of time in prayer? You have not because you ask not. He says that in everything make your request known unto God, do it in thanksgiving. Notice in verse number 7, it says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Who's got your mind today? Who? Who's hindering you? Do you dread coming to church? Do you dread listening to the preacher? Somebody asked me one time, they said, why do you tell people that they need to go to a place if they're not getting fed at Mount Zion? Because life's too short to be miserable. The Lord loves you. He wants your mind at peace and ease. But here's how he's telling you to do it. Philippians chapter 4. And notice what he says in verse number 8. He says, finally, brethren, he's talking to the church. That means you ladies and sisters too. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How are we going to pay the bills, Daddy? We're going to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, and we're going to think on these things. How are you going to get through that knee surgery, Daddy? I'm going to think on Philippians chapter 4, and verse number 8. How are they going to get through them cancer treatments, preacher? Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Do you know that the devil would love to have you warped and thinking on things as of no profit? But the Lord wants to have your mind stayed in peace. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I didn't look, Brother Eddie, just now. On my bottom of my notes, I got over, arrows and everything. Make sure you turn it over so I don't forget. Lord reminded me, he said, make a note. He says, preacher, make yourself a note. Flip it over. And I just happened to look down. I'm about to close my Bible, Melissa. And about, Lord said, flip it over. Because Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. If you keep your mind focused on the Lord, he'll keep you in perfect peace. So while every head's bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask for a song, ask for Paul to come. Right now, I want to ask you, you that's here, how's your thinking? Do you feel like at any moment it's all going to fall apart? Do you feel like there's no way you'll find any hope? Do you ever think it's got to get better than this somehow, some way? It can. It's called the renewing of your mind. The best way I've ever found to make a start in the right direction is commit all thy works unto the Lord. Here's a good way to do it. I would surrender and submit everything I had unto the Lord. If I was here and I was troubled in my mind, if I was wringing my hands, if I was concerned with what was going on, I'd come to the Lord. Don't put it off. Why are you waiting? It doesn't get better. I find that the devil would just love to keep you in that way. If you're here and you're lost and you're not saved, he's troubling your mind right now, but he's not troubling your heart. Your heart's beating kind of fast, and the Lord's speaking to your heart. You might be here and you're saved, and the devil's trying to say, don't listen to that preacher, you're fine, but your heart keeps pounding and pounding and pounding. You know who that is? That's the Lord knocking on your heart. I find he does it for lost and saved people alike. What's he wanting to do? He's wanting to come in. He wants to help you in your thoughts. Establish your thoughts. If you need my notes to help you get through the day, I'll give them to you. But the best thing you can do to start it all off is coming to the one who made it all possible. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.